you in the home 6010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Field, Mike and Daniel here hanging out. I really appreciate it. I just want to say this really quickly. My first time on the show all week.
Yeah.
I appreciate welcome you guys, doing everything for me. A lot of people have been asking. Obviously, I put my house on the market. I've been trying to find something in the Minneapolis area. It's been tough. It's been hard.
Pass your physical, though?
Did pass the physical. Obviously, I am a specimen.
Cholesterol field. Level remains in low. Exactly where it's supposed to be.
Where it's at, yes. Okay.
You're good. Supporting your old teammates today, Jamal.
I'm going to miss my dude. That's why I wanted to wear it. But I'm bummed, man.
How do you feel? You're bummed?
Yeah.
So the fan side of you, I'm sure, like anytime you try to be a good player, you're probably disappointed. Of course, we're all referencing the Lions trading away TJ Hockenson. But for a team that obviously needs to get better long term, how do you feel about this from like a process standpoint?
It was the right decision.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
You don't think you re-sign a cornerstone tight end, young player, 25 years old?
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. Not for the money that he's going to have to command.
Yeah. I mean,
top five tight end, hit money, correct. Yeah.
Okay. And like I just would say that like a lot of tight ends are now being paid in a similar territory mm-hmm. as Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews and George Kittle.
Those guys are
exceptions. How many of them are actually worth the money that those guys are making? We have not seen the separation at the top of the market mm-hmm. at tight end like we have at other positions, where I feel like it can be a little bit dangerous. And I mean, what's the timeline right now for Detroit? Is the timeline mm-hmm. to win sooner rather than later?
My guess would
be like they just need as many assets as they can in the draft. I was okay with it personally. He's a great player.
I love TJ Hockenson. As a fan, I will miss him immensely. I do think one of the things that is unfair for him is when he came in, and I realized Kyle Pitts came out after him, but like he wasn't billed as this like pass catching prototype like Kyle Pitts was. He was like a baby Gronk, and not full on Gronk, but like a baby Gronk where he's a good pass blocker and he's a good receiver. I think paying someone like that doesn't, you know, command 1,000 yards a year and you know, double digit touchdowns is going to be tough when you're looking at $14 million. But love TJ Hockenson. Yeah. Bummed about it. I didn't get to talk about it, so I appreciate you guys giving me that. and for being here while I was gone. Thank you for this part. I love being able to.
We got you, man. We got you.
We got a great crew being able to handle everything. So let's talk about some news. I got one day of football to get in before I hand things back off. So let's start with Jonathan Taylor. Field did not practice yesterday. I saw a tweet from Schefter saying he did not practice with an ankle injury. What are our expectations for him?
Don't know as of right now, which is a scary part. So obviously he had dealt with the ankle injury earlier on in the season, missed a couple of games as a result of it. He returned to play last week. He got hurt during the game again. He tweaked it. He did go back into the game. Not quite as effective as we are accustomed Jonathan Taylor to seeing Jonathan Taylor be. And now the Colts are not committed to him for Sunday. They are hopeful for Sunday against the Patriots. But obviously, if Jonathan Taylor does not play on Sunday, that we know Deion Jackson is the likely next man up. He did have 1 week where he got ample opportunities. That was week 6 against the Jaguars. If you haven't already, go grab Deion Jackson.
Who's the guy behind him now that Nyheim Hines is gone?
Probably Zach Moss would get, I know it's a short week for him as he just got acquired this week via the trade deadline, but there are some things that you can teach a running back, see McCaffrey Christian, that you can do in 3 days of practice. McCaffrey did so in 1 hour of practice. So I would think Zach Moss and perhaps Philip Lindsay gets a little bit of burn as well.
Yeah, exactly. They have a couple guys on the practice squad. My guy Jordan Wilkins back with Indianapolis. We'll see if he's called up, if Taylor's out. But at this point, I'll kind of be surprised if Taylor goes. So I would say if Deion Jackson's out there on waivers, you got to scoop him up now. And as of, I guess this is last night, he's 89% available.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the RB1, not a RB1, the RB1 the last time he filled in as a starter here. Nyheim Hines is gone. I mean, it should be the Jackson show. He's looked good. The guy's 220 pounds. He had what was it? 10 targets in that game?
He had 10 catches in that game.
10 catches. I think he caught all 10.
Catches on 10 targets.
Yeah, it was 10 for 10. So if he's out there, you got to scoop him up. He's going to be a lineup lock if Taylor's out in this one.
And by the way, so I think there is like not a lesson learned here for Jonathan Taylor, but just as we go back, as we go forward and go backwards. So when we get into next offseason and we are debating players at the top of the board, I think this year has been helpful in teaching us like things that matter and things that may not matter, right? Because this is the second time in the past 3 years that one of the strongest points in terms of backing the argument of who should be the number one player in fantasy is, well, this guy's never missed a game in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That matters until it doesn't.
Yep.
Right? Mm. Christian McCaffrey never missed a game in his career until he missed all but 10 over two seasons. Jonathan Taylor never missed a practice in his career, much less a game. It matters until it doesn't. Not only has Jonathan Taylor missed multiple games this year, could miss more, he hasn't been as effective as he was last season. So I just would, like, people use that, they push that as one of the strong deciding factors in favor of a player. And the reality is that, especially at running back, to a degree at wide receiver and tight end, and maybe on occasion quarterback, we're talking about a high collision position. Every play the running back gets the ball, he's likely getting tackled unless he runs out of bounds or scores a touchdown. So just keep that in mind in future years in case we're using that to decipher between the very top players in the NFL for fantasy.
Yeah, and that's on all levels because you even think about, like, okay, who's a safe wide receiver one I could take, you know, if I waited a little bit, you know, like a fringe wide receiver one, Keenan Allen.
Easy, right. There. Yeah, never
and then you're
done,
like,
right?
All right, I'm in the middle rounds. I'm looking for a running back. Oh, I'm not taking Raheem Mostert. That guy's always here. You know what I mean? It's like on all levels. Injuries are so hard to predict. So we have to rely on stuff.
There are guys who have just, like, at the point of his career, late in his career, like Alshon Jeffrey was just always hurt.
Yeah.
Right. And that was baked into it. To a degree, there are running backs. James Conner's missed multiple games or at least a game in every season of his career. That was part of the reason why I was lower on James Conner than others coming into the season. Mm-hmm. There are examples of guys that just perpetually have dealt with injuries. There are others who have been unlucky, right?
Like McCaffrey.
McCaffrey got unlucky over those past 2 years. So I know that we're on a tangent here. The more important part is specific to week 9. But just keep that in mind as we think ahead to this offseason and the debates that often invoke the heat of 1,000 suns between two people who are trying to decide between two extremely talented players, when the reality is that you can probably flip a coin and get a better result than debating back and forth.
Yeah, I think my favorite one is like Matthew Stafford. Remember, he was injury plagued early in his career. You just couldn't touch him. And then he went 10 straight seasons, 12 straight seasons without missing a game.
Dude was an Iron Man. Yeah, you can't.
And that's why I'm so conservative on just injuries in our projections. You know, they're blankets. You know, I don't project running backs over 15 games because it's just a blanket across the board. Some guys might be a little lower, just, you know, for a variety of reasons. But
Michael Thomas is a good one. Another good one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's varying levels, but generally we're pretty conservative with that.
All right. Next question that I have is about Cordero Patterson coming back at practice, which for me, I have mixed feelings about because I've really enjoyed being able to have Tyler Allgeier fill in for me as just like a guy when, well, it's a deeper league and I needed a running back. And as soon as Cordero Patterson comes back, I'm assuming Tyler Allgeier is going to sort of come off a little bit. So, but looking at where we're at on Cordero Patterson field for this week and expectations.
Don't know if he's going to play. So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Is just because a guy's back at practice does not necessarily mean that he does play. The first game that Patterson is back, whether it's this week or next week or whatever, my approach will be that he'll probably play 50% of the running back snaps and Tyler Allgeier will probably play the other 50% of the running back snaps. Do I think that Patterson is clearly the most explosive and certainly the best pass catcher?
Of course.
Yes, but I'll slow play it a bit upon his return. I do think, though, that assuming Patterson comes back and reverts to form, I'll have him as my highest ranked running back for the Falcons for the rest of the season.
Is Cordero Patterson going to come right in and automatically have more targets and catches than both Drake London and Kyle Pitts in this offense?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the first few games of the season, he had 58 carries and 4 catches.
Yeah, okay.
He was not a factor in the passing game, which was surprising, and that's probably has a lot to do with the quarterback change. So, and not to mention that Caleb Huntley, I mean, think about what Caleb Huntley's done on the ground. He has 0 targets this season, and Tyler Allgeier only has a handful. I'm kind of with Field. I don't think you're going to be missing much if Allgeier's not in your starting lineup.
But
I do think they'll probably utilize a few backs.
I do believe that a big part of why the screen game is just not nearly as much of an element for a lot of teams that have excellent running quarterbacks. Think about the Ravens. Like, how much do their running backs get involved in the passing game?
Eagles?
Rarely. Eagles as well. Yep. And Lamar Jackson's the greatest will be the greatest running quarterback ever. You know, obviously right now, Jalen Hurts is right there in the conversation for the next best. Bears kind of comparable right now, right? Khalil Herbert has, 7 targets all season?
Yeah, Montgomery is a decent number, but still, it's not overwhelming, they don't have receivers, though. Yeah. I mean, they have Mooney. Maybe now that changes a little bit with Claypool there.
Sure. But, yeah. So I'm just pointing that out that, Patterson, the pass-catching skill set has been offset a little bit. I do think, though, that, like, once he's back and in his usual groove, I expect him to be the highest-ranked Falcon, and I suspect that Algier would be only a super deep league flex for me. And Huntley, I think, probably has limited to no role in that offense.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how the carries are distributed. But I'm with you. I think Patterson will be a flex. The other guys will be worked in a little bit. I mean, Patterson is still 32 years old. I don't think he's going to be a feature back. But he had, what, 3 touchdowns?
He did.
First couple games, too. So he was finding the end zone.
And by the way, it's good that they're a good team.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be incentivized to just play the kids, so to speak, which I know that the Jonathan Taylor conversation could become more interesting in future weeks. If this ankle gets worse, Mike and I were talking about this before the show. Like, on the one hand, Jonathan Taylor is just a few months away from being extension eligible. You kind of want to prove it. On the other hand, if the Colts keep sinking and they've already fired their offensive coordinator, they've made a quarterback change, and they traded away Nyheim Hines over the past 10 or so days, maybe that impacts how they utilize Jonathan Taylor down the stretch.
All right, let's talk about one more player here. Corey Davis with a knee injury, still not practicing, didn't play last week. It looked like Elijah Moore didn't play last week. He, in fact, did. It just looked like
just
he didn't play.
Just a few snaps. Yeah, 10 snaps.
Does this matter, Mike?
I don't know how to break down any of these Jets pass catchers, actually.
It matters a little bit just because Zach Wilson tends to trend toward Corey Davis. That's his preferred receiver. Last week with Davis out and Moore not playing much, he trended toward Garrett Wilson. Had a career high, 115 yards. Say career high. Season high, career high. 115 yards and 7 targets. That was his most since week 3. It's been a while, but playing the Bills.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I don't think Tre'Davious White's going to play in this game, but it's still the Bills. It's Sean McDermott. It's a great defense. So I think Wilson is still in the wide receiver 3 radar. That's kind of where we've been ranking him for the past few weeks. But it's the Bills, so there's definitely bust risk.
What about Tyler Conklin in that offense?
You know, again, that was his first good game in a long time. Yeah. Like, and he hasn't had a lot of yardage. The targets have been very inconsistent. So I have him as kind of like a really good tight end too still. But I do feel a little better without. Okay. If Corey Davis isn't there, the target's up a little bit. He did have... This is 2 big target shares 2 weeks in a row for him. So with Davis went down 2 weeks ago, if you need to stream him, that's fine. And I mean, I have a lot of Mark Andrews, so I'm in this predicament where I'm looking at waivers and I'm deciding, do I chance it or not? Hopefully we'll have some news on him, but
clarity on Andrews before Sunday
game. I hope so, but if he's a game time decision or questionable, you have a decision on your hands. If you don't have Isaiah Likely, I got him in a couple leagues. Others, I'm like, do I go Noah Fant? But again, we'll address that in the next couple of days. But anyway, you just have to be thinking about guys like that if you do have Andrews for now.
All right, let's talk Thursday Night Football. Our Thursday Night Football preview is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. We are talking Eagles at Texans. Mike, the Eagles are 14-point favorites.
But hold on, that's not the amazing part. The 14-point favorite, and that makes sense, right? It's a huge line.
I think it opened at like 9, though. It's trending. It just keeps going up.
Where I saw it first was 11.5. So even 11.5 to 14, still a big jump. But it's a 14-point spread with a 45-point over-under.
That's crazy.
Like, it's, you know, college football, you see these lines on occasion, right? Where it's like Alabama's favored by 21 and the over-under is 77.
Yeah.
Right? Like, 14-point favorites and a 45-point over-under. That is rare to see in the NFL.
You know what I realized last night, too? I was sitting there and I put, it was like the 9th inning of the game on. You know, I'm not a big baseball guy, but I'm supporting the Phillies. You know, I put it on and I was like, it's Houston against Philly. Oh my God, the Houston and Philly play tomorrow too in football. Isn't that weird?
It's literally been talked about
that long to make that connection.
Everybody's been talking about this for like Lord knows how long.
I'm
like
in my own world.
Because the World Series, there was that 5-day break between the LCS and the World Series. It was like the primary talking point. So we love you, Mike.
I love it. Mike gets up to his spreadsheets after 4 days and then finally sees.
I was doing Cam Johnston projections at that point. I wasn't in the zone.
Mike still thinks it's September. Mike's like, God, September's my favorite month of the year.
It's week 9 already. You realize we're halfway after this week?
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
It's crazy. Absurd.
All right, let's talk lineup blocks for this game for the Eagles. It is Jalen Hurts. It is Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert, all 4 for the Eagles. Mike, the only Eagle that's not really on here is Devonta Smith.
And he could be.
Yeah. The only thing about Devonta Smith is it just feels like he sort of goes the way that A.J. Brown goes sometimes, where like if A.J. has a huge game, kind of feel like he becomes like this, I don't want to say he disappears, but just this, you know, third or fourth option for him. So... but what are your thoughts on Devonta Smith?
Yeah, you're exactly right. They've been kind of swinging back and forth. But I think you'd have a hard time benching him. He does have 4 top 25s. Last week, he only had the 23 yards, but he had 8 targets in that game. That's his 4th game with 7 or more targets in his past 6 games. So the volume has been kind of up and down, but overall, it's been fine. My only question is here, if they are ahead easily, they don't need a lot of pass volume. Does
That's
he
exactly
get enough?
It, Mike.
Because Houston has not allowed a lot to receivers. I think I mentioned this stat yesterday. they've allowed the fifth highest yards per target to receivers, right? They, you know, they have not been efficient at all, but they haven't faced a lot of volume, and they've only allowed two touchdowns to wide receivers this season. Two.
You know why, Mike? Because they can't stop anybody against the run.
Exactly.
Could be a massive night for Miles Sanders tonight. Texans are allowing 186 rush yards per game.
Brutal.
The next closest defense is 156. It's a 30-yard gap. About 20% worse is the next rush defense, or are the Texans in the next rush defense. You can just run the ball and run the ball and run the ball.
And the Eagles can do that.
They certainly can. So while I have A.J. Brown, obviously, inside my lineup blocks, I have Devontae Smith as wide receiver 25. Mike mentioned the 7-plus targets and forward the past six games. So I'm still strongly considering him. And it wouldn't stun me if he had a touchdown tonight. Mm-hmm. 6 for 75 and a touchdown wouldn't stun me, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it's the fourth quarter, the Eagles are up by 28 points, and Jalen Hurts has 13 passing attempts, and he left the game a quarter and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, this one could get ugly.
Hopefully, you hope that if they get in the end zone and they get that, like Jalen Hurts used some of his goal line rushing ability in order to help get them there. At least as a Jalen Hurts manager, that's what I'm hoping for.
I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts. He'll find a way. Like the only way that he's out early is if he's absolutely mashed.
Yeah, you got to remember. That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, if they're up, they have to score, what, four touchdowns to bench these guys? If they did that, Hurts did well. Yeah.
Jake Elliott and the defense also, I would assume, would be lineup locks here. I know we don't have them on there.
Yeah, why not?
Lineup locks for the Texans include Damian Pierce. That's basically it for the Texans. I think from the other side, we can look at Brandon Cooks, but I want to be really
if he plays.
If he plays, sorry.
This is a weird one. And so he's questionable. He's been dealing with, I think, a hamstring injury is what they're calling it. He obviously was on the trade block, and it seemed like on Twitter yesterday he expressed some frustration about not being traded. It's a very, very weird spot. I can just tell you that as of this morning, there was not clarity about whether Brandon Cooks was going to play tonight for the Houston Texans or not. Nico Collins has already been ruled out of this game. If you want to play a Texans wide receiver tonight and Cooks is inactive, I wish you the very best of luck. This one could get ugly. Again, I am very, very, very concerned for the Houston Texans on this evening, and I believe in what they're doing, by the way. I believe in it. It just, I'm just saying the process in general for this organization.
I guess so. It's just, I feel like we've been saying that for a while, and they're just not getting anywhere.
It takes more than a year and a half to dig yourself out of a freaking 50-foot pothole that you were in. I mean, completely bereft of talent, completely bereft of draft picks last year.
But here's the thing. If they're buying in, why are there, Krieger Hill, they had to cut him. He didn't want to be there.
He will
play Cooks wants out. He doesn't even want to play now. They're not buying it. Like, I just went out of there, you know? Like, at least in Chicago, like, you've kind of defended what Chicago is doing. Like, Robert Quinn, we thought he wanted out, and he's like, no, I don't want out, you know? And he was fine, and showed up this year. And they ended up trading him for reasons, but it seemed like people were buying in there. So you hear that people just went out, and it's not, and they're just signing these, like, holdover vet. I don't know. I'm not there yet on Houston.
I think it needs at least one more offseason to properly evaluate the direction of this franchise. And by the way, they have an opportunity to draft an excellent quarterback next year because they're going to probably have a top five pick. I am more optimistic. They have been cap strapped for back-to-back seasons. They did not have draft capital last offseason. Anyways, we're off the course here, but
I don't think we are. I think all of this factors into the fact that I don't want to play Brandon Cooks. Like, I think I have him too high at 33. He has not been a top 35 guy in 5 or 6 and all the things that you mentioned, Field.
Well, the passing offense has been bad too, right?
Right. Like, that's all. These are all factors into it.
Yeah, let's play that game. Who are the receivers tonight?
Who do you think it would be? I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be...
It's got to be Nico, right? Nico Collins?
He's out.
So it's Philip Dorsett on one side. It's Chris Moore in the slot. And it's whichever T. Johnson they have currently.
Tyron's been waived.
Tyron Johnson. Tyler Johnson's gone. Tyron Johnson. Yeah. That's it. That's their three.
By the way, they're going to start 9 rookies tonight for Houston. So, it could be tough. And I just would say that of the surprises this season, there have been many, and this is not at the top of the list, but I've been surprised by how ineffective Davis Mills has looked this year because there was some problem. I thought he was right in the conversation last year based off performance only, the second most successful quarterback last year from that 2021 draft class. Mac Jones 1, Trevor Lawrence and Davis Mills sort of 2. How things have changed, right? I mean, that entire draft class has been flipped upside down. None of them right now feel like absolute, no doubt about it, complete no-brainers, going to be 15-year franchise starting quarterbacks, although it is still very, very early.
By the way, if Cooks plays, you know, we have him ranked as if he's playing right now, right around 30th, it's still a tough call because they are facing the Eagles. This could be a mess, even if he's active. He's missed a lot of practice this week. Darius Slay, I don't know for sure he'll shadow. I am projecting that he will. He shadowed a couple times this year, hasn't as of late. But even if he doesn't just a brutal matchup. Eagles have allowed the lowest yards per target, the lowest catch rate, the fewest fantasy points over expected, the fourth fewest fantasy points to the perimeter, which is where Cooks primarily aligns. And he hasn't seen more than six targets since week four. So yeah, his volume's going the wrong way anyway. So even if he's active, I would still be trying to find alternatives. It might be tough. I mean, six teams are on a bye. It might be tough to find an alternative, but if you can, I would go that way.
I'm with you on that. All right. I'm going to take the Eagles in this one. You guys even want to
score a guess? What's your score?
You know
guess?
What? I have it. I have a 25-16. That's how I have it projected.
What? Really?
Yeah. So I do have them covering.
Is that Thursday night football weirdness or what?
I mean, it's just, again, teams, it's not like Houston's allowing a million points every week, right? Touchdown wise. I have them kind of hanging in there. But that's closer to the opening line. It's kind of widened. Yeah. I might have to knock their points down a little bit if Cooks is out, but I have them covering this line, which is getting wider and wider.
I got 27-10.
27-10. Okay. I'm going to take 27-14.
Okay.
But 13, here's the thing. Covering. Okay.
I don't think they're going to do, what do you have, -9 for you?
I have it about 9, the lines, 14.5. It's funny though, you're the one like, they're buying in and you have them getting blown out.
Well, anyway. I mean, the Eagles are 7-0, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
they're pretty good, Mike. I know, but this season, I mean, look at last week. Who would have, that was one of the most, what was it, Thursday night, right? Monday night, Cleveland and Cincinnati. Yeah. And there was a lot of shockers this year. There's been a lot of shocking things, like watching the Browns just crush the Bengals like that.
Yeah, but they kind of have their number. And let's be honest, Cleveland's talent is legit. They have some legitimate pieces, and their best player happens to be the Achilles heel for the Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Bengals can't pass protect, and Myles Garrett can't be blocked, right? And he just gave them fits all night. He certainly by himself, but the entire pass rush seemed to get after it on Monday night for the Cleveland Browns, and Nick Chubb also exceptional, especially with no DJ Reader.
So if that could happen, I think Houston maybe could. They're buying in. Maybe they show up. Maybe they show up. Give them a little run and just hang in there.
27-10 is my prediction. Again, I believe them long term. I just think it's a talent gap for tonight.
All right, we're going to talk wide receiver, cornerback now. Mike, one of the best things that you do here every single week.
What other best things do I do?
You do the playbook.
Don't you have a NASCAR file during the offseason or something?
Once in a while. I do like big races.
One of the other things that I really like is your DFS, the way that you do all the matchups, whether they're good values or bad values.
We have 40 minutes. Keep going, man. 40
minutes. I also like your rankings. You can find on ESPN.com.
You invited me to your pool once? Actually, no, you didn't. Never mind.
No, I didn't do that. Daniel was there.
I was invited to the pool, but not in the pool. I got to be stand outside.
You got to watch me in the pool.
Mike in the pool. That's actually
why I like it. That's how I like it. You just watch me swim.
All right, let's talk wide receiver cornerback this week. And we got the Kansas City Chiefs. As if they need any more help here, Mike, they get the Tennessee Titans. Is that a plus matchup or a down? Or a negative matchup?
Oh, it's of course a plus matchup. Okay. We pick on the Titans often. Sixth most fantasy points allowed to receivers, eighth most to perimeter receivers. If you look at the last 4 weeks, they've also struggled against the slot. The only thing I can't do here, a lot of times I'll say who's going to see who. You can't really do that because the Chiefs, even back to when Tyreek Hill was there, Andy Reid just moves them all over the place, right? Yeah. So we don't know the one-on-ones, but it's Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, Terrence Mitchell on the other side for Tennessee. It's been a problem spot, especially the Mitchell spot where they signed him off the practice squad for New England and kind of filed him right over Caleb Farley, who hasn't worked out in the starting lineup there. So it's been a struggle for them. Maybe some slight progress lately. McCreary looks okay, but it's still a great matchup. I would say this, you know, like Smith-Schuster, lineup lock. We're starting him. Behind him, it's, you know, you've been able to think about Valdes-Scantling and Hardman as flex options. A little less appealing now because they're going to find ways to get Tony in there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to rotate him in. He might not play a lot, but they're going to work him in, and that's going to take targets away and maybe carries away from Hardman, which is a little problematic. So I don't love that, but I do like the matchup here for these
guys. Yeah, the Chiefs have insinuated that Tony could play as soon as this Sunday night. Wouldn't expect a huge role for Kadarius Tony, but to Mike's point, the beauty of Mecole Hardman a couple weeks ago when he had those three touchdowns was those design runs.
Exactly.
Well, I would argue that Tony is right there in the same breath athletically as Mecole Hardman is. And Valdes-Scantling hasn't scored a touchdown this year, and his volume hasn't been ideal either. He had four targets last time we saw the Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. He happened to catch three of them for 111 yards. That was very vintage Green Bay style Marquez Valdes-Scantling, though, averaging 30-plus yards per catch, which is not what you can count on consistently in fantasy.
By the way, Tony, we talked about this last week, but our expectation is probably this year, you know, his ceiling is higher than anyone they have at wide receiver for that team. But they're probably just going to work him in and rotate him in. This is going to be just like we've seen all season. These guys, kind of what Mahomes teased in the offseason using all these guys.
All right, let's talk the next one. IBM Insight of the Week is informed by IBM, and this week's risky business player is Alan Lazard. And Mike, I feel like Alan Lazard, like this has been a situation where it's been tough. We've expected him to be the guy, and every once in a while he has been, but it's still not to the like higher end echelon, I feel like, that maybe you would have expected from an Aaron Rodgers wide receiver one in the past. However, this week, good matchup or bad matchup?
Yeah, I think he has lived up to what we kind of hoped to get out of him. Like if you were saying, I'm going to draft Lazard in the middle rounds this year, you're thinking
hope high enough.
He's just going to keep.
That's the problem. I hoped higher than you did.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he scores like every other game on average, probably more than that. He's seeing 7+ targets a game. Like when he's been healthy, he's been pretty good. I mean, he's starting to feel good. Actually, I have him ranked 18th this week. So I feel pretty good about him. I've had optimism there. But you know, you're back just in time for the matchup against the Lions. We're going to talk about that today. We saved that for today, Mike, for you, but that's really the key here. We're going to upgrade this passing game against Detroit. They have struggled badly.
Yeah.
Fifth most fantasy points to receivers. If we adjust for volume, the most overexpected this season to that position, the highest yards per catch, the highest catch rate. They just fired their DB coach, Aubrey Pleasant. Like it's just not going well. Maybe that'll fix some things. I have a hard time believing that'll happen in the short term. And what did we see last week? Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, both had 30+ fantasy points against this defense. 17+ fantasy points they've allowed to 9 different receivers already this season. It's a good spot for Green Bay. If Lazard is healthy and active, I'd argue he's a lineup block. Like if I have him on a couple teams, he will be in my lineup if he's a go in this game. It's just a really good matchup.
Yeah, I've got a wide receiver 17. Huge spot for him and a huge spot for Aaron Rodgers. I don't know who is still clinging on to life with Aaron Rodgers as their starter, but if he can't get it done against Detroit, I'm going to check the start percentage for Aaron Rodgers in week 9. And if he does not get you 20 or so fantasy points, then all those people that started Aaron Rodgers will absolutely have a new quarterback for the following week in week 10.
Yeah. We're going to talk about him a little bit in a little bit, so I'll save it. But yeah, he's an interesting one.
If Alan Lazard is, well, I guess we'll save it. Let's save it.
Okay.
Let's save it. All right. We're going to throw and do some squirrel stock next, I think.
Okay, right. That sounds good to
feeling
me.
Feeling good? You up to it?
I'm feeling good. I'm up to it. I'm ready for this.
All right, let's do it.
All right, squirrel stock this week. I got 3 positive things. I've been gone all week. I don't want to talk negatively, right? Like, I've already been sick. I'm not trying to do that. I just want to be positive. I'm going to talk 3 squirrel stock ups, guys, that I'm excited about. We're going to start with Justin Fields, who is my quarterback 11 here this week, guys. And it's about his rushing ability and the addition of Chase Claypool. As you guys know, he's averaged over 22.6 fantasy points per game over the last 3 games. And that is largely led because of his rushing, right? So week 6, 12 rushing yards or 12 rush attempts, 87 yards. Week 7, 14 rush attempts, 82 yards and a touchdown. Week 8, 8 rush attempts, 60 yards and a touchdown. That's 9th. In the NFL in rushing over that span. He has more rushing yards than CMC, than Kamara, than Dalvin Cook over the last 2 games. So the idea that Justin Fields, utilizing his legs more, now gets a big-bodied guy in Chase Claypool to be able to help whatever it is that his passing game is. It's only going to go up from there. He went from being someone that was no longer usable, I feel like, in fantasy, to now when he's got the right advantageous matchup, he is a viable streamer here in the second half of the season. Thoughts?
I mean, it's hard to argue with you. He's been red hot, right? 4 straight top 12s. He's been awesome. Yeah. So I agree. I want to see more passing volume, and hopefully we'll get that with Chase Claypool there now. He's been very reliant on his legs and, you know, 150 passing yards a game and 1 passing touchdown a game on average. Not quite enough to be like kind of mid-range QB1, but he is certainly trending up.
Up to 182 passing yards over the past 4 games. Mm-hmm. I drew the comparison between he and last season, Jalen Hurts, in today's field pass. Now, the big difference is that Jalen Hurts, of course, did it for the full season. Justin Fields now has the challenge of doing that, but we see him trending up. I think there's a chance he could settle in around 200 passing yards a game, 50 rushing yards per game. You account for a touchdown or a touchdown and a half per game, and all of a sudden you've got yourself a starting quarterback in fantasy
football. That's QB1.
Yeah. He has 6 straight weeks of 47 or more rushing yards. That's a touchdown with his legs every single game from that standpoint. Yep. All right, let's talk about Josh Palmer, another guy that I like this week, and not just this week, but for a couple of weeks in part because Mike Williams looks like he's going to miss a handful of weeks, so we're going to see that, right? Keenan Allen coming back from his hamstring injury. Maybe.
Yeah. I'm not as optimistic about that.
Yeah, same here.
13+ fantasy points in all 3 games with 8 or more targets this year. And Mike, you laid out yesterday how bad this Atlanta Falcons secondary is. They've allowed the most fantasy points to wide receivers. So we've been waiting. And this is one of those, like, almost like an emotional check for me, right? We've been waiting to see Josh Palmer finally be good when there is opportunities. Here is that opportunity again out of a bye when the offense is slightly more healthy. I like Josh Palmer this week and beyond. He's at least a flex play for me here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, he's probably going to be their number one receiver here for a few weeks in what we expected to be one of the higher scoring offenses in the NFL. And maybe it will be that. Obviously, they've underwhelmed a little bit, especially defensively, but he was a day 2 pick last year. This is his opportunity to show he can be a number one, and we're going to find out how he performs when all the defensive attention's on him.
Yeah, like 80% of me says yes, 20% of me is holding back only because he's been in good spots so far this season and has not exactly delivered. Remember all the way back to week 2 against Kansas City where he got that number 2 wide receiver role? It was like crickets until late in the game. He scores a touchdown and not quite garbage time, but late in the game it saves you. Hopefully he saves you again in a major way because the Falcons really leave a lot to be desired.
All right, and then this last one, I am going to go with George Pickens here. Bam. It says Steelers, but it's George Pickens. And so when we're looking at this, George Pickens, Claypool leaves behind an 18% target share, right? I'm expecting him to get somewhere right now. He's averaging, George Pickens getting about 6.5 targets a game. I'd expect that to be around 8 targets, I think, by the time all is said and done. And you look at the schedule. Week 13 at Atlanta, week 14 Baltimore, week 15 Carolina, week 16
I'm not so worried about that stuff, but just talent, you know, talent and opportunity is good.
So I hear what you're saying. I'm just looking at when you get into the meat of the end of the regular season in the fantasy playoffs, 3 of the 5 like teams that he goes against right now are bottom 5 against wide receivers, and 4 of them are bottom 10. So I think he's got a better, the Steelers, we talked about, they had a really tough matchup earlier on. I think we're through a lot of that part of the season. George Pickens, I really like this week. So, all right, that's going to do it for Squirrel Stock Upfield. We're going to pay some bills.
Geico asked, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, an RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Make Little Caesars the official pizza sponsor of the NFL part of your game day. Order online during their pizza pregame 1 hour before NFL games and get ready for some football and fun. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or their in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the tastiest hour before kickoff. Pizza, pizza.
All right. We are going to talk to Shefty in just a minute. He is getting set up right now. He's telling me he's got the reel in his ear, not the show. So maybe we can work through that one there. In the meantime, until we do, I think Kyle has a couple of social questions. Kyle, you want to start things off?
There he is.
Kyle Soppy. Yeah, we got you.
You nailed it.
We got some Lion questions with Daniel back on the pod all around great. DeAndre Swift.
Oh, boy.
Seagoat wants to know if you're flexing Swift or Lockett this week.
Tyler Lockett. I'm not playing DeAndre Swift if I can help it, probably.
Yeah, if that's the key phrase, if you can help it, right? There's some situations, again, with 6 teams on a bye, he might be your best option. Take that flyer. I mean, he did score last week. You know, he only had a few carries, but it's awesome target.
So limited.
Yeah.
So limited.
But they still play. I mean, he almost matched Jamal Williams in snaps, and I get it. I'm with you. You know, if you can find a way to
have, I can find another option.
If you have a fringe wide receiver one.
Yeah, I hope that answer, I hope that decision is made for you, right? Because we either get information that DeAndre Swift is not going to play or be extremely limited. And the fact that he went from a full participant in practice last week to not practicing at all today, a little bit daunting for
after
that Lions
four
backfield.
Weeks of being off. Like this is part of the, like there's a lot to be nervous about for me with DeAndre.
Yeah, he's going to be another one in the offseason where we're going to have a good talk with Stefania on the show and say, you know, how do we approach this guy? Because he's missed a lot of time.
It's been really
tough. His whole career.
All right, Kyle, what else you got?
We've got a trade offer on the table here. We were talking Jonathan Taylor a lot in chat today. Dylan, would you give away Damian Pierce for JT?
No.
So this is an interest. So Dylan, I agree with Mike. Let me just, let's have some fun. Let's do sort of like a modified running back name game here, Mike, and just go
you
through.
You invented that, right? You
Let's have some fun with it, all right? Just quickly, as we're waiting for Shefty, I'm just going to just start rattling off players, running backs, are definitely, like if I offered you Jonathan Taylor for that player, you would say no. I'll start with the easy ones. Austin Eckler? No.
No.
Saquon Barkley?
No.
No. Derrick Henry? No. Christian McCaffrey?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Alvin Kamara?
Nope.
Nope. Nick Chubb?
I would want Chubb.
You would want Chubb.
Yeah,
agreed. Dalvin Cook or Jonathan Taylor?
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so this is the territory.
I'll go. Yeah, we're in that box now, okay, where you so think about it, what a healthy Taylor looks like. I'd probably lean toward Cook because there's serious doubts about Taylor's health right now.
Fair. Okay, this is good. So Damian Pierce, yes or no?
I'm going Pierce.
Okay, you just said that. Kenneth Walker III or Jonathan Taylor?
Oh, man. That's where it gets tough. Yeah. I'm going to lean Taylor.
Okay.
I want to see more passing down work from Walker. That still bothers me a little
Leonard
bit.
Fournette.
Taylor.
Okay. So that's kind of the Mendoza line there.
Did you say Ramondre Stevenson?
I have not said him yet. What do you think?
I think I would lean Taylor just because we saw split snaps last week in New England with Harris bouncing back. And if he starts stealing some touchdowns.
Yeah. Last one.
Ramondre's still the lead there. But
did you say Aaron Jones?
Nope.
Ooh, that's the last one. And that's the one.
Very different.
I'm going to lean Jones because he has taken control over A.J. Dillon. He's taken pretty good control there.
Just to give people perspective, Dillon included, that like Jonathan Taylor has fallen from the might be the best player in fantasy football to a back-end RB1. That's
exactly
what he is now.
He's a back-end RB1. And if he was fully healthy, especially with the potential targets coming to him with no-name Hines, it might be a different story, but who knows? Like,
you got to see it first.
We talked about it before. What if they're like, all right, we're just going to shut him down for a few weeks? Like, that's like, I can't deal. You know, he's your first-round pick. You need him on the field. So there's definitely concerns there.
That's frustrating. That's so frustrating. All right, Kyle, what else you got for us?
Slim wants you to help him walk through a quarterback situation. Geno Smith, Justin Fields this week. Who you got?
Well, it's a good one right there. So I'm assuming Mike's going to go with Geno.
Yeah, I'm going Geno. I'm a little higher.
Geno gets the Cardinals and the Bears get the Dolphins.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. So you know something? That is like that. So I have them very close in my rankings, about two spots apart. Geno Smith, a little bit higher though. So I'm going to go with Geno. That's a good one, though, Slim. That's a really, really good one.
By the way, Fields projects a little lower. I feel like, you know, I do the projections and then I make some tweaks and stuff. And then sometimes you see a guy and you're like, that makes me a little uncomfortable. Like, Fields has been a little low. But one of the key reasons for that is his scrambling rate is massive, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's out of the constraints I usually put on scramble rates for players. And usually those things will start to come down. Like, he'll settle in and start throwing more. And that'll take away the rushing opportunity. So
we'll see, though, with the Miami adding Bradley Chubb, the Bears right tackle, Larry Borum, currently the concussion protocol.
Have to run all
might have
day.
To run
so
a
that's
bunch.
Why I'm not quite there
that's
yet.
A close
can
one,
you
though.
Stream him, though, this week? Of course you can.
Yeah, no, that's
you
know, a good problem for Slim to have.
I think I look at Justin Fields as a streamer, but I think Geno Smith, for me, based on what he's done so far this year, is more of a lineup lock if I have him on my team.
Yeah, but is it 6 of 8 games? He's at least 2 touchdowns, He's been good. He's been solid. Adding value to his legs.
Really good problem.
And it seems like Geno's the better bet. I think these guys are similar in terms like Geno has more passing yardage, but it's not like Geno Smith consistently throwing for 250.
Right.
He's in like 195 to 215 territory. Justin Fields is more like 150 to 195 territory, right?
Yeah,
so the difference is Geno's throwing more touchdown passes. Justin's adding much more value with his legs.
Geno's ascension in year 10 of his career is so random and unusual that I still have trust issues there, though. It's still like, is he going to
Patterson
the
quarterbacks, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's just, well, Patterson, I mean, there was, you know, volume playing well, like you kind of bought into that, but a quarterback, though.
Yeah, very, very
uncommon. To make this leap to being a top 10 player.
Someone asked me, would Geno Smith be the comeback player of the year? And I was like, what's he coming back from? Anonymity? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like,
I'm okay with it. I mean,
breakout player of the year.
Breakout
maybe.
Player. Breakout player.
Who is the comeback player? That's a different discussion.
Yeah, is that injury?
I think it's probably Saquon Barkley, just because he was injured for part of last year and obviously was not the same player in terms of effectiveness.
We'll see what CMC does the rest of the year, too.
He could
make a run at that,
well.
Too.
Yeah, certainly.
Yikes. All right, Kyle, do we have anything else from our chat?
One last question here. MC Brown wants to know where Deion Jackson would rank if we get news that JT's sitting.
Mike said it earlier, but repeat it again.
Yeah, lineup lock. I would say fringe RB1.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will say this. The reason why it's not like, easy top 10 play is that if you look at the running back position on the whole, Jonathan Taylor being a very notable exception here, things have gotten way back on track. Remember early in the season where there were concerns about Christian McCaffrey. He's not catching passes. He's just running the ball. And Derrick Henry was held under 100 yards in each of his first two games. And Alvin Kamara wasn't catching passes. And Dalvin Cook couldn't find the end zone. And Austin Eckler was being inefficient as a runner and not catching enough passes. All those guys have turned things around. I mean, you've got like 10 options now that you truly implicitly trust.
Yeah, not to mention that, you know, Jackson could get 20 touches in this game, but it's now Sam Ellinger under center. He's probably not going to throw it to him 10 times like he did in the last game. Mm-hmm. But again, that 20 touches gets you into the RB1 conversation. But think about this, like, he'll be right around Miles Sanders. We have like 12, 13 in our rankings, and he is this ridiculous matchup tonight. against the Texans, which we love. So that, and you know, it's not like we're going to just put Jackson seven spots ahead of him at RB5, right? That's kind of in the ballpark of where he should be. So he should be the feature back, though. He's going to be a lineup lock, but yeah, we're not going like top five.
I want to ask a real quick question, and this is sort of just going back real quick. But we were talking about Justin Fields, Geno Smith. As a part of Justin Fields, I wasn't here to be able to talk about the trade deadline. So I'm just curious, from a wide receiver standpoint, how do you break down Chase Claypool in this Bears offense, Mike, with Justin Fields?
Well, we kind of disagreed on this one yesterday. Yeah, I'm on the hater side. I just look, my case is, and I'm just going to regurgitate things from yesterday quickly, but you know, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, they were the top two targets in that offense and are not good fantasy starters. So how do you add a third guy to that mix and he's suddenly a reliable fantasy somebody. Starter?
You so know something?
I'm pessimistic.
Enough about Mike Clay stuff. Let's get Adam Schefter's thoughts instead as we have finally worked through the technology issues. That is 2022 in a nutshell right there. Working through technology, working through technology
and
issues.
Speaking
that should
issues,
be
yes.
the, yep, stop it, Mike. I'm bad at speaking. That should be my new team of my fantasy football team in the War Room League. Schefty, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Field, nice to join you.
Did you? I know. Sorry, it's been a while here, Chef. Did you sleep? Because you and I said you should sleep for about 15 hours after the trade deadline. You said you might sleep for about five.
A little bit. And then the Commanders went up for sale, and then Bradley Chubb signed his contract. And so it's always something in the National Football League.
It sure
like,
is.
It never stops. It just never ends. In all honesty, after the trade deadline day, I will say this. I mean, I just felt drained the next day. And, like, you just want to just decompress and just catch your breath. And all of a sudden, here comes the announcement from the Commanders that they put the franchise for sale. And here we go again. So it never just it's the nature of the job.
I'm not going to lie. I followed my daughter's lead and took a nap on Wednesday, Shefty, because it was just time. Let's get into the trade deadline and your interpretations of how some of these players fit and what the role might be. And we were just talking about Chase Claypool. Daniel was asking Mike. Mike threw a bit of cold water on his value. I'm a bit more optimistic. What do you think the vision is for the Bears in acquiring Chase Claypool?
Well, here's the thing. Again, I can't say specifically what it is other than it's a playmaker. And they've been dying to get the guy. They've wanted the guy for a while. They were willing to give up a second-round draft pick to get him. And so when teams look to get a guy, it doesn't always work out the way you'd like. But clearly, they have big plans for Chase Claypool. That's all I can tell you, is that they have big plans for the guy to fit into their offense. Now, how quickly is he going to learn their playbook? How quickly is he going to strike up a chemistry or not with Justin Fields? How quickly can they adapt to him? There are some things that they'll have to work through. Do I think he's going to step in on Sunday and catch five passes for 111 yards and two touchdowns? No. But again, I think he's going to be actively involved in their offense more and more so over time. And they want him as another weapon. They've been looking for another weapon to surround Justin Fields with more and more firepower since the draft. Yeah. Since the like, this has been going on for a long time. And the fact that they were willing to give up a two tells you how they feel about the player. So the player is going to have a big role.
On the other side of this trade, Shefty, is, of course, George Pickens, who is on your War Room League team. This, to me, was also a signal that the Steelers are comfortable with him taking on a larger role in their offense. You feel the same way?
Yeah, I also feel like the Steelers could go use a fourth-round pick on any receiver and turn him into a Pro Bowl candidate.
That's true.
I think that's part of it, too. And George Pickens has demonstrated the upside and the talent that they rave about. Like, I've heard about George Pickens all summer long, that he is as talented as any wide receiver that they've ever brought in there. Now, you think about all the wide receivers that have come through Pittsburgh and have worn that uniform in recent years. They've had a lot of hits on a lot of wide receiver draft picks in recent years.
Yeah.
And I think that they have felt more encouraged about George Pickens than any receiver that's come through there. Now, we've seen flashes of Pickens' talent. He's been pretty good fantasy-wise so far. But I would think down the stretch, if he's healthy, if he's on the field, if everything is aligned, he has a chance to be a big-time performer. But I've thought that all along, which is why I drafted him.
Yeah, there's a much clearer path now, though, with just two sort of those alpha-level wide receivers, Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, with Chase Claypool now in Chicago. The Miami Dolphins stole a lot of headlines on trade deadline day, Shefty, because they acquired Bradley Chubb. But a couple of smaller components of that deal and another deal that I thought were fantasy-relevant. Jeff Wilson Jr. goes from San Francisco to Miami. You think the vision for Miami is insurance policy, or can he have a role there in Miami alongside or behind Raheem Mostert?
backfield, what they did is they transplanted the 49ers' 2021 backfield to Miami in 2022. Last year, when the season opened, Raheem Mostert was the one in San Francisco, and I think Jeff Wilson was the two. If not the two, then maybe the three. Now, we've got Raheem Mostert in Miami as the one, Jeff Wilson as the two. Mostert is a guy who, if he stays on the field, is really good, really fast, really effective. He's just had a hard time staying healthy. And so I think Wilson compliments him, provides insurance. Jeff Wilson is a guy that the organization felt very strongly about in San Francisco. Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins coach, knows exactly what he's getting. Raheem Mostert knows exactly what he's getting as a running back teammate. And he knows the offense. Yeah. So he can step in on Sunday, and it could be rather seamless for Jeff Wilson to do exactly what he's been doing in San Francisco. And so I think it's a case where Mostert still is the lead guy, but believe me, they got a lot of confidence in Jeff Wilson, evidenced by the fact that they gave up a fifth-round pick to go get him.
So, Shefty, also in that aforementioned major Miami deal that you reported about Bradley Chubb, who you also reported got a huge extension, 5 years this morning worth nine figures. It's good to be able to count, 110 or so million bucks for Bradley Chubb. But in that deal, they sent Chase Edmonds to the Denver Broncos. Now, part of me wonders, and I hate to minimize a player to this degree, that you have to make the salaries work a little bit. There is a salary cap here, so perhaps that was the motivation. But also, it's not like Denver's gotten the production they would want out of their backfield. Do you think Denver was motivated to add Chase Edmonds to balance the money, or because they need him in their backfield now?
Maybe a little bit of both. And again, last week when we had been hearing about a Bradley Chubb deal, I knew Miami was on the table with an offer. I knew that it included a player. Nobody wanted to say the player, but I presumed it was definitely one of the Dolphins running backs. I actually thought it would have been Myles Gaskin, but it turned out to be Chase Edmonds in return. Now, I don't know whether they switched it up at any one point or what happened there, but clearly Chase Edmonds is a guy who was very effective in Arizona, who Miami saw fit to go pay in free agency, and he just hasn't produced the way that they hoped. Now, Chase Edmonds, I think they were relying on him in a more substantive way in Miami. Like, he, as a third down back, as a red zone guy, has been very effective in his career, and my guess is that maybe Denver will get back to doing what has made Chase Edmonds a very effective player that Miami wanted to pay in the offseason, where Melvin Gordon can take some of the sturdy carries. Latavius Murray can do the same. And Chase Edmonds can be sprinkled in on third down, pass catching, red zone type situations that make him the value that the Dolphins thought they were getting when they signed him in the offseason.
Well, for at least one game, Shefty, the Broncos will have Melvin Gordon and Latavius Murray and Marlon Mack and Chase Edmonds available. They have four backs that at various points of their career have been effective runners. So it'll be interesting to see how they divide up the carries, who's active, who's not.
Well, you know, you're listing all those running backs field, and it just makes me think of what a dramatic effect Javonte Williams' knee injury had on that team. Like, just think, they went out and they signed Latavius Murray. They went out and they signed Marlon Mack. They had Chase Edmonds included in this trade for Bradley Chubb, one of their most respected and talented players. And so one injury had all sorts of ripple effects that are still impacting the team, and they haven't been as good at the running back position without Javonte Williams, and won't be, because Javonte Williams is that good.
My thought is that I wonder how long all four of them last in Denver, and whether at some point four goes to three. Now that the trade deadline is behind us, every player that is waived is subject to waivers. Prior, it was just players who had four or fewer years of experience. Shefty, great stuff. As always, I wish you absolutely no luck this week in fantasy football, because we are playing against each other in the War Room League.
Well, you know what, Field? We both stink. We both stink right now.
Well, Shefty,
but I'm happy
stinks,
to talk basketball.
And all my teams are on bye. My seven best players are on a bye. It's remarkable. I don't know what to do. Like, do I drop my best players just to try to win a week?
I wouldn't drop Jimmy Garoppolo if I were you, Field.
Wow, okay, listen, Daniel, my team's not that bad. Okay, right? Jimmy G has been pretty good of late. Shefty, we so appreciate you. Great job all week. Carry the company as you often do. We'll talk to you again on Sunday during Fantasy Football Now.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend. Appreciate having me.
Thank you. Go DeAndre Carter for like 30 fantasy points.
That's right.
And mine. I mean, he's going to be their number two, right? in the slot. Maybe he gets 11 targets.
Yeah, he could get
11 targets in this game.
I had like a premonition this way. My team is one of those where it's like, this is how I feel about my War Room League team. We're going to very quickly for this week because of all the players in a bye. Is there's that video that goes viral every once in a while. It's like a, I'm sure our producer Dave Presley would know this. It's like a British darts player who just throws 9 straight bullseyes and just goes like gets crazier by the throw. And it's an electric moment. I absolutely love it. Like I get fired up with the adrenaline. Yeah. Great moment. Dave's confirming this, right? Yeah. And that's what I need on Sunday. Just back to back to back to back to back bullseye. Just absolutely nailing it. Like I'm going to have freaking Marquez Callaway carrying my team on Monday night. Hey, Callaway, 7 catches, 95 yards and a touchdown. The perils of a 16-team league. Let's do some game previews, Daniel. What do you say about that?
Yeah, you mentioned you had a couple of guys on bye. A lot of teams on bye this week, Field.
6 of them on a bye. There are 2 weeks during the year in which there are 6 teams on a bye. This is one of them.
Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, the Giants, the Steelers, and the San Francisco 49ers all on bye this week. So a huge grouping of players that you've got to look at. Let's look at games this week, though. Seahawks at Cardinals. This game is something I'm really excited about this one. Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. All of your Seahawks look to be lineup locks here.
Pretty much.
I do want to ask questions, though, because we've seen these Cardinals, this Cardinal secondary shown up on wide receiver cornerback matchups in the past. Mike, do they show up here against these Seahawks wide receivers, too?
Well, I'll tell you what, Lockett and Metcalf didn't show up when they played earlier this season. Yeah. So that makes this one a little interesting. And
same with Geno, for that matter.
What's that?
Same with Geno, for that matter. It was a 19-9 game.
Yeah, it's there's a couple things to consider, both pluses and minuses. You look at Metcalf, and I think there's a chance Byron Murphy shadows him in this game. He did not in the first meeting, but he has shadowed Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, and Justin Jefferson on their outside routes, and they were effective against all three guys. Adams had 2 catches for 12 yards and a touchdown. Cooper Kupp, I mean, this is not just against Murphy. This is for the game. Think about this. Cooper Kupp had 4 for 44 and no touchdowns. I mean, that's unheard of for Cooper Kupp in the last year and a half. And then Justin Jefferson had a decent game, 6 for 98. But when they've chosen, this is their one. We're going to put Murphy on this guy. They've done a pretty good job this season.
UW.
And Metcalf, what's that?
UW, University of Washington.
Yeah, right. There you go. Great. So week 6, Metcalf, I mentioned this, 2 catches, 34 yards and 7 targets. And Murphy wasn't on him that much, and they still kind of held him in check. So a little worried about him. I still, you know, line up Lock, maybe avoid in DFS. And then as for Lockett, same thing, 2 catches for 17 yards in the first game.
Yeah.
He's an easier matchup against Marco Wilson on the other side if we do have Metcalf shadowed by Murphy. But this is where it really gets interesting for me, right? You know, I'm saying all this stuff about how Arizona's doing a good job. They've allowed the 6th most fantasy points to outside receivers overall this season. So it's just occasionally they've identified these guys, done a good job against them, but overall it's just been a struggle. So
well, they also keep falling behind, right? Like a lot of it's early. They have trailed. I actually laughed about this yesterday, but I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh about this, but Cliff Kingsbury noted yesterday that they have been trailing on all but 8% of their offensive snaps this year.
Oh my gosh.
That's better than earlier this year.
Second worst in the NFL. And he was like, yeah, the analytics department tells me that's about like 6 minutes of gameplay per game. I'm like, I think there are probably different ways you can utilize your analytics department.
Yes.
A calculator would have also sufficed, right? But I digress.
That's not really helpful. It's just like, you stink.
You're not
like,
good. Yes.
The idea of analytics, I think, is generally to help inform decision-making.
Exactly.
It's not to
that's
do
not
division,
helpful.
Right? That's
just to make
math,
it feel
right?
bad. Yeah.
That's a TI-83 right there.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Can I ask a question about this game? Because like, all these players, Mike, great insight as always. I think the most interesting player in this game, though, is James Conner, because we don't know if he's going to play. He's injured. He did practice on a limited basis yesterday. It was a walkthrough, though. I think we're getting to the point of the season where you're going to see a lot of veteran rest days and a lot of teams just sort of scale things back in terms of full contact practices, padded practices, or even practices at all. And if he plays on Sunday, how confident are we that, A, he's going to be effective? Maybe, actually, no, not maybe more importantly, A, he's going to be the guy by himself, and B, he'll be effective? Because I'm starting to wonder, and I talked about this going into the season, James Conner played a ton last year by necessity, not by design. Eno Benjamin's been good for Arizona, been effective. Mm-hmm. Are they really going to take James Conner, plug him back in, and say, you know what, Eno, back to the bench? My instinct is no.
maybe not, but I will say this. We sometimes try to manifest stuff like that, like with Khalil Herbert, and it doesn't happen. You know, it's just all right, Herbert's back, or Pollard, you know, or Zeke's out. Zeke's going to be the lead back again once he comes back. I mean, Pollard plays a lot, but how many times have we thought, all right, Herbert, he earned more now? And he has a little bit, but it's still the Montgomery show. Yeah. Same thing in Philly with like Miles Sanders. You can go on and on. This just stuff kind of keeps happening. So I think Connor probably gets the edge, but it could be 60-40. Maybe it's scaled back a little bit from earlier this year. I think Connor's the guy I would pick between the two if I was starting them.
Me too. Yeah.
I don't feel great about it.
Right, but the elite usage, because there are people that were super optimistic on James Connor coming into the season, expecting 15 to 18 carries and 5 to 8 targets per game. Mm-hmm. I suspect that might not be the case coming out of the gates at the very least, and maybe not at all for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. I don't have him as a lineup lock for me this week if he plays.
No, I agree. Yeah.
From that standpoint, I think the only Cardinals that I do have as a lineup lock would be Kyler. Probably Zach Ertz and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not even Eno on the other side of that. Like, he's not a lock for me. He's probably a flex play.
I think if James Conner sat, I'd probably feel pretty good about Eno.
If James Conner sits, yes. Yeah. If James Conner plays and they split time, or like first game back, I just don't have a lot of confidence in starting James Conner right here.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. So. To be clear, if Conner's active, I am not starting Eno unless I'm in a really desperate spot.
No. Yeah. Right. All right. As far as Rondell Moore, Mike Clay. We watched Rondell Moore have a heck of a game, actually, last week.
Yeah.
Got in the end zone.
So weird.
Is that going to happen again? Because DeAndre Hopkins is doing DeAndre Hopkins things on the other side. Is Rondell Moore able to take advantage of that?
I think so. So what happened was in week 7, Hopkins came back. Robbie Anderson just got acquired. It was kind of a bizarre situation. There was no Hollywood Brown. And Rondell Moore played on the perimeter the whole game, and it didn't work out. He had one long catch early, and that was it. They kind of fixed that last week. He still got some outside run, but he was back in the slot. DeAndre Hopkins played like 80% on the left side, which we're used to. They didn't move him around quite as much, and that worked fine. Moore was back on track. 9 touches, 104 yards, and a touchdown. He's going to be a big part of this offense, at least until Hollywood Brown is back. 6 or more touches and a top 35 fantasy finish in 3 of his 5 games this season. Seattle, again, they have some gem finds in the secondary. We thought we were going to be able to pick on them all year, but their rookies have worked out pretty nicely. They've done a nice job there. They've had the 3rd fewest fantasy points to receivers. So a lot of that's been on the perimeter, though. Yep. I'm not too worried about Rondale. They're going to get the ball in his hands. I think he's a fine, say, a fringe wide receiver 3.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add on this game field before we move on?
No. Good.
Let's talk Packers and Lions then, because normally when we talk about the Lions, the lineup lock list is very long against them. This week, it's Aaron Jones and Alan Lazard and maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe
Aaron Rodgers.
He has lost the right to be called a lineup lock.
Correct.
He can be discussed as a streamer, but that's where he is now.
All right. So, I mean, obviously you love Aaron Jones with all of the volume that he has been getting at the running back position, all the pass catching volume that he's been getting. Alan Lazard, obviously, like you've been saying, Mike, basically a touchdown every other game. He is the number one there. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers as a streaming option against these Detroit Lions, because we've watched them give up a ton of points, but we've also watched Aaron Rodgers really struggle against everyone this year.
But it's weird because he has no finishes better than 12th, right? So the ceiling's just non-existent this year. However, he has exactly 2 touchdown passes and at least 15 fantasy points in 6 of his past 7 games, right? So it's not like he's crushing you, right, with horrible 3-point games. He's had it. He's thrown a couple touchdowns. He's getting a decent number of yardage, at least enough to keep you afloat. So you just wonder if they can build a chemistry to just bump it up a touchdown, like just start scoring a little bit more. So I think based on what he's given you as a floor and against this Lions team that's allowed the 2nd most fantasy points to quarterbacks, the highest completion rate, the highest yards per pass attempt, I think he is a fine streamer. Maybe he gets 3 touchdowns in this game and throws for 280 or something. So that's enough for me. I think if you have him this week, again, especially with 6 teams on a bye, you can stream him.
Yeah, the only thing that I hope was that this isn't the Broncos of the NFC, in the sense that, like, even when the spots look pretty good, they just haven't delivered. And I recently spoke about how, like, it's not joyful to discuss the Broncos fantasy outlook. They've got a lot of really talented players on offense, and certainly they've had some injuries and that has contributed to it, right? But it's not like the Packers don't have some pieces we like on that offense, right? I mean, AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones are one of the better backfield duos in the NFL, and Alan Lazard has been a solid player, and we think there's some promise there with Romeo Doubs. And if Christian Watson could stay on the field, he'd be a useful part of this offense as well. And he's Aaron freaking Rodgers, and yet they can't get anything going. So I've got Rodgers as quarterback 9, identical to where Mike is on the board here. But I do understand if you're fearful of starting Aaron Rodgers, it's a great spot, though. Just like it was for Tua last week. The Lions, who I get it, It's redundant at this point, but they are a sieve defensively. They just cannot stop a nosebleed.
And they might be able to win this with the ground game, right? Aaron Jones. I mean, this is a spot where A.J. Dillon comes through and has a bounce back game, but this is a good spot for them to be like, let's get this passing game on track, you know, and just throw
maybe
it a lot.
Get the passing game to Aaron Jones on track, too. That way
they can definitely do that.
More elite team.
I think more importantly, though, they got to get the receivers going. If they got to try to get the passing game going, or they're in trouble.
All right, so we've got Allen Lazard. What about Romeo Doubs? Does Doubs come in as a, like, he's not a must start. Is he a flex play here with this matchup?
Yeah, I think he's flex play. If Lazard's out, you're starting him. If he's not, he's closer, but he's been, you know, he's gotten respectable volume, and he didn't get kind of phased out last week like we were worried about after Aaron Rodgers' comments. In fact, he made a great touchdown catch. Sure. So I think he's still going to be plenty involved here.
Let's discuss two scenarios here as far as value goes for the running backs in the Lions backfield. Mm-hmm. If both play, DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, we all agree that, like, and we talked about this earlier, playing DeAndre Swift, he's so talented and obviously so good in the passing game as well. What kind of value does Jamal Williams have, though, if DeAndre is active?
He has 4-2 touchdown games. It's absurd. Absurd. He's still Swift, Swift actually held the snap edge last week by 29-22, held an edge. He was still the lead back, even though he was limited. That's going to bother me just as a guy that chases volume.
Sure.
It's going to bother me, but I mean, Williams is the guy at the goal line, and they score enough that he can get in the end zone. Yeah. So for me, it's a fringe running back too. Again, with six teams on a bye for Williams, Swift to be a stronger play. I listed him as a lineup lock. I know it's tough right now. I have a hard time benching Swift if he's active.
And if Swift is active, how far up your rankings does Jamal Williams
climb? If he's inactive,
Swift is out.
Williams on the RB in the RB1 discussion.
Yeah, he didn't quite deliver in when he was the RB1 earlier because they got more guys involved, which was like a little bit annoying for fantasy purposes. But I just think the opportunity is too ripe, and there are enough running backs on bye that he'd be a top 15-20 play for.
Yeah, and he had like 3 targets, which was an uptick for him the last time we saw him, and in that role. And obviously gets a goal line work, and he's been delivering in that department.
So. Most importantly, Daniel, what are you and Kyle betting on this game?
That's a great question. Honestly, as a Lions fan, I've decided to stop betting. I'm just not.
Packers aren't much better though.
They're going to start winning now. How long? How old are you? That's 40 years you've been betting on the Lions. How do you have any money at all?
I don't. From that standpoint, here's real quick question. Because you guys were talking about. Nope, just left my head. You know how sometimes you have a question and then it just like disappears?
Yeah. Sorry, you're in a haze still. We'll give you a pass on this one.
This has been fun.
Welcome back.
Yeah, you're back. No one else on the Lions, right? You're not starting TJ.
Awkward.
That one hurts.
We'll keep an eye on
James. Poly positive on the way out, right?
James Mitchell, stash in deep dynasty leagues. Someone's got a round pass. I don't know.
That's right.
Hey, Daniel, you guys have a DFS podcast at any point this week?
We do have a DFS podcast. It's going to be following this show right here. Mike is going to make people some money. Mike's been on a tear seriously, he's been fantastic. Check out DSS DFS.
That's in the West. Mike makes money. Things you can count on in life.
I didn't need to see that.
What was that?
I don't know.
My money dance. Your money.
Well, on behalf of whatever that was.
I need that gift right now.
Just want to let you guys know, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening to us, for hanging out with us every single day. Please love each other, be kind to yourself, and come back tomorrow. We love you guys. We'll see you on Friday.
Talk to you then.
It's no secret. Not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's dead.